Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 342 of Heroes Unlimited, and I don't like it. not this page. I mean, I don't like this page, but I don't like that we're discussing it. As you'll know if you listened to last episode, last time, over half of the material on that page was stuff that was in Ninjas and Super Spies, so we've already talked about it on the podcast. As a result, we didn't have to talk about Heroes Unlimited yesterday. We got to talk about Transdimensional TMNT. We got to talk about a charming mutant mastodon man with a delightful head of hair. It was a wonderful treat, a great vacation from this book. I've got to tell you, when I got to this page in my PDF, I was all ready to make this a Transdimensional TMNT page. So I got out my highlighter, and I went through line by line. I had my PDF of Ninjas and Super Spies up as well. And I went through, and I combed through, and I found everything that's on this page of Heroes Unlimited that also appears in Ninjas and Super Spies and Dumbheads. It was so close to half. It was so close to 50%, which is my self-imposed arbitrary breakpoint. Once it's 50% or more, then I do Transdimensional TMNT. As always, I am a slave to my own whims. Once I have set myself an arbitrary restriction, I cannot break it. And I'm sad to tell you that this page is so very nearly, but not quite, 50% old content. Therefore, we're doing it. We're talking about this page. What's here? Well, there's a big list of explosives, like dynamite, plastic explosives, hand grenades, mortar shells, that appeared in Ninjas and Super Spies. There's also a list of body armor, ancient body armor, that appeared in Ninjas and Super Spies. And then we got some random shit that you might want to hit somebody with, like brass knuckles, a cattle prod, a blackjack, which, by the way, is number one, not mechanically differentiated from a club, and number two, nonetheless, appears separately on the table later in this section that includes both clubs and blackjacks. So, good fucking thing we've got double extra redundancy on our mechanical implementation of random object used to whomp people on the head. We've got crowbars on this page. That's something. I'm sorry, I say crowbar. This is much more sophisticated than that. Quote, SWAT entry tool, aka hooligan tool. A long, 1-inch thick, stress-proof bar, heat-treated for durability and strength. On one end is a large chisel, spike-like pry bar. On the opposite end is a claw-slash-chisel point, crowbar-like. Used to pry open security doors and grills. Cost $240. Damage 1d8 either end. Pops normal door locks on a roll to strike of 8 to 20. Pops heavy locks and security door locks on a roll to strike of 12 to 20. So here we have a pry bar with a short set of prying rules included, which make prying a grate off a door dependent not on your strength as you might expect, or on your familiarity with the SWAT tool, aka hooligan tool, if you're of the chaotic persuasion, but it actually depends on, like, your martial arts training, like your strike bonus, so the better you are at kung fu, the better you are at prying open doors with a crowbar. Great rule. I'm glad I read it, and I'm glad that it's taking up space in this book where there was no room for goddamn guns. Hey, you know what else is sitting on this page, being an excellent use of space? Another implementation of itching powder. Remember in the magician section, the stage magician has access to itching powder. You may recall that the stage magician, this access to things like goblin dust, itching powder, is like one of their main traits, because they're basically for shit, but they've got a few good skills, they can juggle, and they have the special stage magic connections to buy things like paper bags full of ashes. One of the things that they have special access to is itching powder. Yet lo and behold, here we are in the general equipment section that everybody can buy equipment from, and here's itching powder. But in the game's defense, it's not the same itching powder. It is slightly different itching powder. Both are effectively worthless. Both are terrible attacks, terrible waste of an action to use. But it is true, the stage magician, per these rules, has access to a slightly better formula of itching powder than the general population. This is a small victory. Sadly, the only kind of victory a stage magician can probably hope for. In this game where he is surrounded by immortal beings and military hardware. And you know what? The magician deserves it, because this equipment section, you know, it's just for general purpose equipment that everybody can buy. Like, for example, it lists mace, because if there's one problem the superheroes in this game don't have, it's fucking vanity. Superheroes in this game use guns, they wear helmets, and they're not above macing your ass if their superpowers aren't up to snuff for crime fighting. You will get pepper sprayed by superheroes in the world of Heroes Unlimited. But you know what? Maybe you can't afford mace, or you don't want to be caught carrying mace, or there's a superhero fight backstage at a strip club and you got to improvise. You'll be happy to know that this page does list combat stats for hairspray, including, yet again, more rules for blinding people, the effective range of a can of hairspray, 3 feet, the duration that you can blind someone with hairspray, 1d4 melees, and the cost of a can of hairspray, $3. So for those of you keeping track at home, when it comes to equipment, Heroes Unlimited has 2 stat blocks for different formulations of itching powder, 1 stat block for hairspray, 2 stat blocks for military web belts to hold firearms in, but alas, no firearms. No room. I hope your weapons expert character likes burning people alive with hairspray and a lighter, like the end of Metal Gear, because that's what he fucking gets. Oh, and he gets knives, too. I guess that's the dumbest thing on this page. This page lists knives. There's a whole section for them. Modern knives. And which modern knives are on offer, you ask? Well, there's the combat bush knife that does 1d6 damage. The slim pack throwing knife that does 1d6 damage. The belt throwing knife set. This is a set of 4 knives that do 1d6 damage. Don't forget the polycarbonate knife that does 1d6 damage. And, of course, the bayonet that does 1d6 damage. Oh, and the small boot knife that does 1d4 damage. So, if you're looking for the only knife in the goddamn world that's worse than other knives, can I interest you in a boot knife? Putting aside the boot knife, which is $20 and does 1d4 damage, so it meets the extremely low criteria for being like different enough from other knives to maybe deserve its own stat block. This is 12 lines on this page devoted to mechanically identical knives. They vary in price, they vary in flavor, but they are all knives that do 1d6 damage. And when I say they vary in flavor, they vary in weird flavor. Like, you can buy the slim pack throwing knife. Quote, with a flat lambskin sheath, this knife is perfect for concealment. Also a perfectly balanced 6-inch blade. No knife, however slim, can be described as perfect for concealment when it is 6 inches long and shows up on metal detectors. You can't get that shit into an airport. For that, you would need the polycarbonate knife. Quote, this 7-inch knife with silk sheath is guaranteed not to show up on metal detectors. Balanced for throwing, yet with a keen edge for slicing. All this shit about throwing and slicing and balance means nothing. Means nothing. Because, number one, there's no like rules implementation of this. There's no mechanical weight to it at all. Secondly, there's no basis for comparison. Because you know what the other knives in this game, all the many countless knives that all do 1d6 damage, you know what they're balanced like? You know how they throw? Exactly the fucking same. As far as we know, maybe there's a knife out there that has 90% of its weight in the tip, and you can balance it on your finger like one of those toy birds that balances on its beak, and its shape and balance are so fucked up that if you throw it, then it just like spirals immediately down to the left and crashes into the ground. Maybe that knife exists. It's somewhere in the undifferentiated mass of knives that do 1d6 damage, but it doesn't matter because they've got exactly the same stats. And hey, maybe there's a knife somewhere in that undifferentiated mass of 1d6 knives that is even better balanced, even better for throwing. Doesn't matter. If you don't find a knife anywhere here that's to your liking, you could say to the GM, hey, I have an idea. What if I bought a special super knife called the Death Raptor, and it comes in an eagle skin sheath, and its aerodynamics were designed by a team of MIT physicists, and it threatened to disrupt the knife industry, and the lab was burned down by Big Knife, and this is the only surviving prototype. If you asked the GM for that, he'd be like, yeah, sure. Who cares? Because there's one set of knife stats. It doesn't matter. The only difference is the fucking sheath. And that's the only balance factor, is am I charging you appropriately for whatever the fuck your knife sheath is made out of? Other than that, these knives are all the same. You know, aside from like the little special features like can't see it on a metal detector, little tiny things about the fiction like that. Or significant things in the fiction, like for example, a knife that you can fire out of its base so that the blade becomes a projectile. This is the case with the firing combat knife illustrated on this page, which you can't buy. There was no room for that one. The one knife that there's something significant different about it, the knife that you can shoot like a gun, the most amazing and ridiculous development of blade technology since the fucking gun blade, that's pictured on this page, but like the guns pictured at the beginning of the section, there was no room to actually stat it or give you a price. It's just another picture of a cool thing you can't have, courtesy of your friends at Palladium. So that's 2 web belts, 2 itching powders, 1 can of hairspray, 5 knives so far. There are more to come in another section, and no guns in Heroes Unlimited. Just unbelievable. The dumbest thing on this page, I don't know. I mean, I want to say it's the knives, because they take up 12 lines to describe 4 knives that are functionally identical. And that offense is aggravated by the fact that they take up extra space because the game feels the need to, for some reason, specify what kind of material the sheaths are made out of. Like, why do I care that your throwing knife is in a lambskin sheath, you weirdo? It's like, Heroes Unlimited by Kevin Zambita. Additional material by Unpleasant Man on Bus. Dubious Fellow in Pawn Shop. Your middle school friend who definitely doesn't actually own a knife. But I guess at the end of the day, I gotta give it to Hairspray. In a game with no space for even one firearm, three lines are devoted to the combat stats of Hairspray. That's in a certain way beautiful, but it's also dumb as shit. So I guess I have to pick that. Frankly, the dumbest thing is that we're talking about this page at all. It's mostly shit we've talked about before. It's just not quite at that 50% threshold. Join me next time for a page that does meet that threshold. And you know what that means. On MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.